Welcome to Crit Like a Girl, where it's sugar, spice, and everything dice. Last time on Crit Like a Girl, the team went against a bandit and his group of Kinku henchmen. Sildwin turned into a direwolf and straight up attacked one of the Kinku and bit it. Zuri managed to convince one to go take a nap via casting suggestion, and Jinx turned herself into an imposter Kinku. Jinx-ku killed the bandit with one touch, using necrotic damage to turn him into mushrooms. Jinx convinced the Kinku that they are now free and won't be harmed, and Poppy offered to take them to her farm in Drakartha. And that is where our story begins.
They kind of look at each other, and like there's again that kind of brief conversation of like jumbled noise, and then after a few moments, one of them kind of repeats back Poppy's words, like farm, and then no one would bother you, and just kind of look at each other, and all chorus in like a jumbled mix, farm.
Okay, I think this wagon actually works, this one, so you guys could take it there, and like Poppy, oh, you know what, I think Pudge can do this thing where he can show you the farm, so you know how to get there. That's that bird, the little bird, not the person bird, and I can help give you guys a little bit of this coin so that you can get there. And we don't have a lot of food, but we could give you something.
At this point, Sildwin would probably turn back from a wolf, and she would cast Goodberry, which gives her a handful of berries that provide enough nourishment to sustain a creature for a day. So she can give them berries to travel with.
They all kind of questioningly cock their head and take the berry and like start raising it to their mouth, like just looking at you the whole time.
She would eat one. She could eat one to just show them it's good. You're fine.
They will like toss it in their mouth and do that bird thing where they kind of toss and catch.
We're kind of heading in that direction, so if you guys would like to stay with us for a little bit, you can, or you can go off on your own. Really, whatever is fine. We won't hurt you or anything, you know. We know it's not your fault you attacked us, but you can go on your own if you'd like, or you can travel with us until we're nearby, and then I can point you in the direction.
They all kind of look at each other for a moment, and look at all of you, and look down the one single straight path between these mountains that all of you have to travel, and then just look back at you and just nod. You hear one of them say, "Travel with us."
I love making new friends. Are any of you hurt?
One of them kind of raises their little feathered hand in the air where they have been horribly stabbed by some vines. And another one definitely has like wolf teeth marks in them. Those two kind of like raise their little feathered hands. The others kind of just, nope, in different voices.
I'll just go ahead and cast Prayer of Healing on the both of them. It takes 10 minutes, so I'll just have them chill in the carriage and heal them for the time being.
As you heal them, they kind of like clamber into the back of the cart and just like kind of pack in together like this is familiar, and they're all like tucked up like birds on a wire. Just
this cart, is this like, do we need an animal to draw the cart? Like, how large is this cart?
You do not see any animals around, though, considering that one of the Kinku just turned this into a moving cart, like, with a touch, you kind of get the impression this is a cart that is meant to fake being broken, and therefore there is probably something somewhere around here to pull it.
Okay. Yeah, Sildwin's gonna go looking for that.
Yeah, go ahead and just make a general perception. We'll say investigation check to see where this would be hidden. And if you ask, one of the Kinku will help you. So you can go ahead and have it.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. She would do that.
there's a small like inlet that kind of disappears into a cave, and inside there is not a horse, but a what looks to be a large, like a large elk.
She loves it. Is it a female elk or a male elk with big old antlers?
It is a male. It's got the big old antlers going on.
Oh, she loves it. It's her favorite thing in the world. She's going to smooch him on the nose and lead him back to the cart.
Just go ahead and make animal handling. The elk kind of like looks confused, like kind of tilts its head as you come towards it and takes a couple like steps backwards, like uncertain. But like as you move towards it very gently, eventually will hesitantly move towards you, and then after a moment let you go ahead and take it. It does have reins kind of wrapped around its mouth and neck, and you can grab them and kind of lead it back fairly easily to where it should be hitched to the cart.
She would ask the Kenku if it has a name.
The Kenku just shrugs.
She's, of course, as she does, she's just going to talk to this elk. Not that she hasn't cast a spell or anything, she's just talking at it. And she says, oh, well, we're going to have to figure out your name at some point then. And just, like, chatting at him. This is very, very chatty and familiar. As if this is perfectly normal, even though it probably has no idea what she's saying.
Sildwyn comes back with a large elk and is able to kind of hook it up to the cart. By this time, Jinx, your spell would have taken effect. And is there anything else you would like to do in this area before you begin to once more head off down the path with your new bird friends and elk friend?
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I don't have anything else. Oh, wait. Did we find a chest with gold in it?
Yes.
Yeah. In that case, before we move on, I do have another point of business. Poppy's going to turn to Jinx and be like, oi, look, before we get going, I know that you've got that chest full of gold there, and you never gave us the reward from Cyrena, if I recall correctly, because my pouch, and she's going to tap her little coin pouch, is feeling a little light, you get me? So if you and I can want to continue to not have any problems, I think we should take care of this before we continue on, especially because I know of some pretty damn good taverns that I could spend some coin at in Drake Arthur, you get me?
I have been appointed the Dream Team's financial advisor, and my advice is for you not to get any of the gold because you will waste it all with drinking. I have the baby up everything accordingly. We now have a group fund that I oversee, and truth be told, there was no reward for Sindri in the first place, but I made the reward happen. So I find the gold, I get the gold, and now I'm finding ways to benefit everybody with the gold, and not just you killing your liver.
First of all, we all helped with Sindri, okay? So we should all get some of that gold. You don't have to give it all. You can keep a group fund. Sure, yeah, whatever. I get it. That's fine. We're traveling together. Have a group fund. But we should still get paid from that group fund. Do you know how mercenaries work?
Do you know that I'm not one?
Yeah, I know. Which means you should not be in charge of the gold if you aren't going to pay people for their jobs.
Do you need the gold for anything immediately?
That's a great question.
As Sildwyn asks this, by the way, she is refreshing her flower crown that Jinx gave her a while back. She's refreshing it with druidcraft and planting it on the elk's head.
I'm just saying, I earned it. I should get it. This is bullshit. I can't believe you are agreeing with her. And then she'll look pointedly at Zuri like, back me up, bro. You don't want your gold, Zuri. You earned it too.
I donated it all to the Church of Kiarani. You're welcome.
All right, well, you haven't donated that gold that's in the chest there, so let's divide that up evenly. That is fair.
I disagree, because you would not have found this without me and my friends.
Who will be living on my farm.
Okay, then perhaps you should not have offered them your farm if you wanted to take the money.
At this
Notably, all of the Kinku are just looking back and forth at whoever's speaking and just not saying anything.
But as they're arguing, Sildwyn would turn and say, Jinx, do you acknowledge me as the leader of our little group?
I do, but I don't want to give her the money.
And she would go, I know you don't want to. You may not approve of how much or of what she spends it on. She does spend a lot of it on alcohol and killing her liver. She agrees with that entirely. But she would also say, it is fair. She did earn some of it by both helping here and assisting against sin. So I do believe it is a smart idea for you to be our accountant of sorts, as you seem to be a very responsible woman sometimes.
Plus, I have always gotten you guys more money than you would have gotten alone. So doesn't that mean that I should get like a bigger share?
Sildwyn would shake her head. And she would just say, it's about balance. Nature is balance, isn't it? One shouldn't get more than the other, simply.
Is there anything that you need right now? Because in my opinion, 100 gold is a lot of gold.
Look, how about this? The stuff from Sayarina, the stuff in this chest, and going forward, we just split everything 5 ways. Some to each of the party members, and then into a collective fund that we can use for whatever we need during this adventure.
That would be balanced. And Sildwyn recognizes that, even though she personally doesn't really care about her share of the gold, if it's something that Poppy really wants, and she'd be like, that would be the balanced way to do it.
Okay, I guess. From here on, all of this is party funds.
That's not what I said. Fine. How about whatever's in the chest can be the start of our party funds, but you divvy up what Serena gave you. Does that seem fair to you, at least?
DM, correct me if I'm wrong, but she also doesn't know how much Serena gave.
Yeah, you did not. She does not know.
She is going to take out 20 gold pieces for everyone then.
Poppy will take that and be like, thanks. Was that so hard? And then, still irritated, is going to shut up and start walking off in the direction of Drakartha, motioning for the bird people to follow.
Sildwyn would decline it and say to put it in the party fund. She's fine with that. She's got enough gold for now. She'll ask for more if there's something that she really, really needs. She's probably carrying more gold right now than she's ever seen in her entire life anyway, because she usually doesn't use gold or city things.
All right, I'll put it in the party funds. I'm trying to save for us to get a magical bag.
After this fight, Sildwyn would bring up the fact that she's like, yo, I'm not feeling so great about holding this thing. I'm getting that uneasy feeling. Would Poppy, or well, no, Poppy's run off already. She's walking off. So she would pull it out and ask if Zuri would like to carry it for a little while next. I mean, I believe it's still wrapped in cloth. Like, they're not really touching it. It's like wrapped up and... But it's still affecting them, so we're gonna pass it around like a Horcrux here.
I also have like a bunch of these potions that we didn't use, and I think I can sell them. And my whole plan is to try to get us like a more sturdy something to hold it in, the coin, so that way we're not feeling all rotted away from the inside, you know?
That sounds like a good plan.
All right, so to the city.
To the city.
The four of you in possession of a new wagon, an elk to pull it, and some new Kanku friends emerge from the Twinstone Pass early in the afternoon after several days of travel. The mountains begin to grow shorter around you, kind of tapering down, and as you emerge, you can see in the distance the city of Drakartha. The buildings themselves are clustered, and you can see several of them, as well as farms that kind of line the outskirts. Even from here, though, you can kind of see the large clock tower monolith shining in the late afternoon sun as the sun glints off its crystal. Poppy, this is a very familiar sight to you. You have seen the city several hundreds of times in your lifetime. And the four of you are able to make your way towards the city if you would like to. Or Poppy's farm, I believe your farm is to the west of the city. So what would you guys like to do?
So she probably just dropped the Kanku off at the farm.
Okay. It takes a few hours to get down to where your farm is. As you approach, it's different than when you left. Obviously, a lot of the fields are overgrown with weeds and stuff. No one's really been taking care of this for a little while. It does, however, look very familiar to a dream you've had recently, and you find yourself kind of hit with a kind of a burst of nostalgia. But as you approach the farm and your Kinku companions kind of tumble out of the back of the cart, looking around and kind of blinking at the farm, cocking their heads and like making those kind of chirping noises before turning to you, to the four of you, and one of them just kind of chirps the word home. And it doesn't sound like a question, but he's clearly cocking his head to one side to make it a question.
Yeah, she'll kind of nod, like, not 100% sure what they're asking, but she thinks she gets it. She'll be like, this is my home. Yeah, it's the farm. Yeah. Yeah?
I think that they're asking you if this is where you told them they could live.
Yeah, so the answer would still be yeah.
Okay, my little birdie friends, this is your new home.
They kind of cluster around for a moment and are just kind of chirping at each other and looking around. And one of them kind of like takes off at a run, just like kind of through the fields, and very quickly gets tangled in some of like the kind of knee-high weeds that are growing in places. You don't know if these Kinku actually have any idea of how to take care of a farm or do farm work, but they seem excited to have a place that is a little bit less, you know, murdering people on the road for money.
So, Poppy, you own a house?
I guess. Like, this is my family farm, so it's just me and my mom.
Your mom is here?
No, she's dead.
Oh.
It's fine. It was a while ago. It's fine. But yeah, this is my farm. I just don't really come here very much anymore.
It looks really... Yeah. Overgrown. I like it a lot.
Right. Yeah. Well, the Kinku will take care of that, I'm sure.
I don't know that they will. They do not seem to know what they're doing.
It'll be fine.
Do you have any friends here that could maybe help them? Or do you just want to be like, have fun, I don't really care about this place anymore? Kind of deal, because that's kind of what it looks like.
I don't really. We kind of were secluded, you know. Mom didn't think a lot of people would really get along with me being, you know, different. She kind of gestured to her like whole self, like mainly the crystals and stuff spiking out of her skin. It's really fine. I got some friends in the city, but I don't really think that they'd want to be here, you know. They're not into the nature so much. Right, well, the city's a bit of a trip in, so you guys want to get going?
Okay, do you want to leave them food or instructions or just peace out?
I kind of assumed they knew how to get their own food. She'll look at them and ask them in her language. Do you guys know how to get food? Do you need help with anything before we leave?
The Kinku look at each other for a moment and kind of like make kind of soft noises at each other before that one Kinku who seems to have like appointed himself spokesperson of the Kinku group kind of steps forward and in Jinx's voice says,
"Know what they're doing? Have fun."
He will nod as he's saying that. So you have the impression he maybe don't know exactly how to do farm work, but they can take care of themselves until they figure it out. And one of them will kind of gesture. You can see it would be a bit of a trek beyond, but you do see kind of in the distance to the west, the outlines of the beginning of the forest. So you get the impression that he is possibly saying they might be able to take care of themselves by getting stuff from there as well.
Poppy will just give a big thumbs up, like, all right, yeah, it looks like they're good, guys. So you ready? We don't really need to stay here, right? She looks visibly uncomfortable.
I suppose if they're well, there is no reason for us to stay. There's certainly no food or not enough stuff for us to rest here for now. But if the Kenku are happy with it, then I suppose we should move on.
Okay, but like no more murdering people, okay?
They will just repeat back to you, no more murdering people, okay? And a couple of them will start kind of making their way, kind of inspecting around, kind of moving with confusion towards like the actual house that is there, like not quite sure what they're looking at or what they're doing. They don't really know exactly what's going on, but if you all plan to leave them here, they will most likely figure it out.
I feel like we need to leave them like instructions or something, but maybe if they're living in this overgrown farm, like nobody will mess with them. But like, I don't really know a whole lot about owning land or anything like that, but do you still own this land, Poopy, or is somebody gonna come and like demand money from them or stuff like that?
It's Poppy, actually, and yeah, I still own the land, and no, we don't have to pay for the land anymore. We just own it. So yeah, nobody will come out here and bother them, and they said they know what they're doing, so I think we should just probably go.
Okay, I guess we should go. I think that we should leave them their wagon, because technically that's theirs, and they don't really have a whole lot of stuff.
One of the Kenku does move over and kind of like put their hand on the elk's like neck and like pet the elk and like look at you guys, like not sure if they are going to be allowed to keep the elk with them or not.
Poppy will be like, are you going to eat it?
All five of them very rapidly shake their heads.
Okay, yeah, you can keep them, that's fine.
Shake their heads in which direction?
The ones that are, shake their heads, no. This is, they understand the purpose of like a beast of burden, and this is, you get the impression this elk is treated very much like a horse would be. They're not going to eat the animal that pulls the cart. They know better.
Sildwyn is very sad. She's gonna look at you guys and be like, "Oh, we have to leave it behind?"
I mean, I think we'll be alright, and we can always come back and visit. It's fine.
We can always come back. It's not like we're leaving them forever, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do technically own this land, and eventually I will move back into my house.
Fine. She'll just kiss the elk's nose. Say, I'll see you again later. Bye.
The elk kind of like noses against your cheek for a moment. It's still attached to the cart, so we'll just kind of stay where it is, kind of looking around at its surroundings. And if you all are not taking the cart and the elk with you, you begin making your way on foot back to the east to the city of Dreadmartha.
Thanks for listening to Crit Like a Girl. Cover art by Chester Cat. Opening and closing music by Brian Dockery. Background music from Freesound, Incompetech, and Tabletop Audio. Follow us on Twitter @CritLikeAGirl. That's girl without the I. Don't forget to check out our Ko-Fi, where you can support the show and your favorite adventurers. If you have any questions, suggestions, or recommendations, email us at critlikeagirlpod@gmail.com.